week's episode of MCW Fancast, the Man City Women's Supporters Podcast. My name's Emma, thanks for listening. It's nice to be back after a couple of weeks' break, and the break didn't go as well as I planned, to be honest. If you were expecting a podcast last week and you were disappointed not to find one, I'm really, really sorry. But hopefully I'll make up for it this week, as it's a bit of a bumper episode and there's quite a lot to get through, so I hope you enjoy it. In this week's podcast, we look back on our two wins against Liverpool in both the FA Cup and the WSL, getting post-match thoughts from manager Nick Cushing, Jennifer Beattie and Georgia Stanway, and we'll have some views from some fans as well. And we also have the return of our Meet the Fans segment. So like I said, plenty to get through, so let's start by looking back towards the end of last month. The OSC was selected as one of the branches to take part in the OSC Roadshow. We went along to the event, attended by special guests player Janine Becky, James McCarron, who's the head of sports science, and Royer, who's a performance analyst, in a very special Q&A session which offered insight into their roles within the club. It was a great event, and we'd like to share with you some audio taken from the event.
My name's James McCarron, and I'm relatively new. I only started on 2nd of January, so I'm about to get out of jail free card if you're out. My role is head of sports science and medicine, so I lead the group that include the physiotherapists, psychologists, nutritionists, sports scientists and strength conditioning coaches. So really the remit is to make sure our players are healthy and available to train and play as much as possible, but also try to push performance as well, so making them stronger, quicker, that type of thing. So that's kind of my remit.
Thanks for being here. I appreciate you guys having us. I'm happy to be here, see you all. As a player, I know we really appreciate your support. Seeing you out at every match and the away matches is really special, so thank you. Obviously, I'm a player. I'm relatively new as well, so it's been really fun to be here for my first year. Looking forward to more memories and hopefully two more titles this season that we can share with you all. So we're working really hard every day in training. We're excited for another draw against Chelsea, so we're looking forward to that, and yeah, I'm really happy to be here.
My name's Ryan, I'm the team's performance analyst. I've been here almost, coming up for 3 years now.
So you're the one we have to ask the
office. Yeah, I'm behind the scenes a lot of the time, so I don't know a lot now. My job really just to make sure the team's well prepared going into every game. And then it's also my job to assist in the team's development over the course of the season. There's a lot of things that I do probably behind the scenes that a lot of people don't see. But you know, if we're working tirelessly to prepare for matches, myself and coaching staff are sitting down watching opposition quite a lot, you know, picking out moments, their strands, maybe their preferred style of play, areas that we can then exploit, so then that all goes into the game prep for that week, and then we drip feed that to the players every day, so they get analysis now every day. They're probably bored to see the sight of me, but 10-15 minute short session just to kind of outline the tactical element of it, and then going out onto the pitch for training to get into practice really. And then come game day, very much like, you know, how's our game plan going? Do we need to change anything at halftime? Do we look to kind of change things up, or are we doing really well and just keep doing what we're doing? And then post-match we just look to review everything. So pick out all the good stuff that we do really.
Well, James, first of all, thank you everybody for coming, so it's great, so thank you. So, James, here, I think you're the right person to ask, I'm going to ask it anyway. You get a lot of women in the game who get ACL injuries, and you read a lot that it's to do with the shape of the woman's body, and maybe sometimes to do with boots and things like that. So, one, is that true? And then two, what, if anything, can be done, or what do you try and do to maybe reduce that? Because obviously we've seen some horrific injuries in our squad over the years.
Yeah, it's a really good question. So the first part of it is that ACL is a big issue within female sports in general, particularly in team sports, because of the kind of multi-direction nature of the sports. So you're right. If you can think of a male and their hips and their knees kind of track in the sense of their width, whereas a female generally has wider hips than their knees. So it creates a different angle. So whenever you're putting force through the ground, you're always putting force at a slight angle through the knee. So if all your muscles, tendons, aren't strong enough to withstand that at a slight angle, then it creates a bit of a risk. So the biggest thing we try and do to mitigate that risk is to make the athletes strong, particularly in movements where it creates flexion at the knee, and flexion is just where your knee bends. So if we can create strength as the knee bends, that's a really big thing that we try and do. There's some really big research groups across the country and also across Europe that are looking at this issue, specifically in football players. So at the minute, UEFA actually fund an injury audit, which we all contribute to, by the top teams in Europe. It pulls all the data relative to the amount of training we do, the amount of games we play, and what injuries occur and why. So for example, if we get an ACL injury, is it because they're not strong enough? Generally that's the case. Or is it because they played far too much or trained far too much? Now we're starting to monitor that in greater detail. So we've actually got a meeting at the end of the year to look at that over the past couple of years. What are some of the trends that lead to these ACLs? Is it strength or is it something else? So there's lots of research that goes on behind the scenes, but ACL is definitely the biggest injury burden for any kind of team sports and female sports. So.
Question for Roya, please.
Yes.
As you've been here the longest,
yes.
Over the 3 years or so that you've been here, what have been the changes that you've been doing in your day-to-day job, and what have been the changes that you've seen in the female game over that 3 years?
I think when I first came in, although analysis isn't new in the women's game at all, it's still very much in its infancy. So for me, it was a bit of a blank canvas. I could come in and try and test different things. So it's my third season, and we tried different things in the first season, so we did in the second. We've gone really report and kind of like stats based, and then going very subjective with our feedback to find the way that works for us. And we've now found the best possible way from day to day work. So one of the biggest things is that we record everything that we do. So we record all our analysis sessions for the players, so they can watch it back as and when they wish, and then it kind of opens up that communication channel between ourselves. We record every training session, and that goes up on the phones within 15 minutes of them coming off the training pitch. It just means that we have a full database and a full log of everything that we do. And it means we can always refer back. So if we're going to play a certain way against an up-and-coming team, we might refer back to a session that we've already done. And we draw on a lot of footage from the men's first team here. Obviously, we all play a very similar way, and we have a clear blueprint that we want to work off. So we use a lot of the men's first team clips. We've used boys 18s clips before, which has been great because we see them day to day in and around, and I like to think that they're using some of our clips too. But I think that's worked really well. The fact that we're drip feeding them a lot of footage, just short and sharp, that works for us. Keeping it very short allows us to then go straight out into the pitch and put that into practice instead of, you know, an hour and a half session where players are kind of losing a bit of interest or maybe can't truly take in everything. So that works well for us. Definitely like one-to-ones, and I think that's something that is very clear. You know, we want to touch base with players quite a lot just to let them know how they're getting on. Each of them has a clear role within their team and clear KPIs that they need to stick to and adhere to in order to be playing and being picked in the starting 11, for example. But I think the biggest thing for me coming here was they're so open-minded about everything, you know, be it new stuff or replicating stuff that we've had previously with the last analyst, but maybe tweaking it a little bit. They were really open-minded. They let me do whatever we needed to do, and Nick's been credit for that as well. That's helped me. And I think we've seen it grow massively, even in the last year and a half. And now when you're going to games and I'm up to the production trucks to get a copy of the live feed, they expect it now, whereas when I first came in, that wasn't the one thing in a women's game. You know, they're well aware that in a men's game, you take, you know, eight different camera angles, but that wasn't done here. And, you know, the stadiums that we're playing at, a lot of them weren't suited to analysts yet, whereas we're getting there. So for me, from an analysis perspective, things are moving in the right direction. Now there's greater want and need for women's footage as well, so more broadcasting, hopefully that continues. And I think, yeah, for me, it's going in the right direction. We're getting more appreciation across the board. And it's great when we're walking around the buildings here. Our highlights go up on the screens as well, and everyone from all different departments are asking how we're getting on, they're taking an interest. And it's now becoming, you know, something that you're out in the street and people are asking you about as well. And I think that wasn't the case previous. You know, when I used to tell people I was a performance analyst at Man City, they go, oh, hold on. You know, for the women's team, like, yeah, we've got a full setup. Our backroom staff has grown massively as well. we're not covering all areas, so that the players are well equipped and the team's well equipped to pull on any resource. So I think it takes a bit of time and probably investment, I'm sure, as well, financially and whatever else, but I think we're getting there, and I think we need to continue to lead on that as well.
In terms of this season and preparing for a game tactically, where do you feel that we've got it right this season?
I think the balance, we've got the balance right now. We do look at ourselves a lot because we want to develop and we want to grow, and we see that we're now very adaptable and we can change our system and change our tactics. And I think that's showing, you know, that it takes time to get there, but it also credit the players for the mindset that they've got. You know, if you give them a task, they'll give it 110 and they'll put that in. But I think we've just got a nice flow to the day now. You know, we've got a nice, we meet in the morning, breakfast together, we then have analysis, we go out onto the pitch type of thing. And I think it works for me, for my role. I've not forgotten about your stuff, that fits in there and around my stuff. But I remember it's just got a nice flow to it, and the preparation, we have enough time now to do that, because they're short, sharp sessions. And everything's communicated, be it in person or on phones. We also don't want to overwhelm them. I think we've been guilty of it, and as of other teams, where you just throw too much sometimes before games, and I don't think you get the best of the team in that sense. So it's my job to really filter it all. You know, I watch lots and lots of games, and I'm not going to show them all that. You know, I actually watch a lot of games, sit down with the coaching staff, we break it down, we filter it down, and then we filter it down again. And it's my job to make sure that it's enough information and not too much. That's
just on the question, I'm more interested when we get it really wrong, and then what happens. You know, how do we respond to when we get it tactically wrong? Well, one of the most interesting things I've seen since I've been here was when we played away at Chelsea, and whatever they did, whatever system they were playing in the first half, it kind of threw us off a little bit. And at half time, it was like, right, what are we going to do? And that was fascinating to see, because it was players and staff all involved in trying to find a solution, which we did. Won the game. What do we do?
Yeah.
And it was a real moment for me, being a new member of staff, to see that and go, right, okay, everyone is on the same page here to find a solution. So that was a key moment to have for me.
I actually think on that point, we learned an awful lot a couple of years ago in the Champions League when Lyon came here. The element of surprise a little bit. I think on the day they showed that tactically they were very strong, physically they were obviously very strong too, but it meant that we had a lot to do that week to turn stuff around, and we changed the system drastically. We'd never played the system before, it's actually what we play now. It worked really well, but we asked the players to go against the grain and do something that, you know, we hadn't been training for, and we had a short window to change it. And I think because we had success there, like, I could draw on that experience. Some of the players were there on the day a couple of years ago for that. So when something doesn't go right in the first half, there's no need to panic. I think that's the main thing. We saw at the beginning of the season as well with Atletico, anything can happen, and you've got to just be ready and prepared to kind of maybe change your ways a little bit, but just be confident in your own ability. And it's the main thing, and you're right, that game was memorable for that purpose as well, and credit to everyone really for.
Can I just ask, when players are away for international duty, do you still liaise with the players and keep up to date with how they're doing?
Yes, yeah, we do.
Yeah, depending on like the length of the international window, so for myself, I was the only one back in October that was gone for like a whole month. So I think it would be a lot for, you know, them to ask me, you know, fill out your wellness every day while you're there. But I think what's really awesome is that, so James and Julie, our sports scientists, have a great relationship with the national team sports scientists. So they're able to communicate without us even being involved,
yeah.
Which is nice for us because we get to focus on what we're doing, but they're also getting what they need. And I know for myself, I know England does it. Most national teams now are using the same data that we use here, which is, you know, GPS, heart rate monitoring. So all of that data gets sent back here so they can know what I'm doing physically and how to then get me back into training and, you know, limit the amount of injuries and fatigue that I'll have. So they do a really great job communicating, and it makes my job easier.
So I'd like to say thanks to Jane, Jenny, Roya.
City Women faced Liverpool on the bounce, the first fixture in the FA Cup quarter final, which was held at the Academy Stadium on the 17th of March. First half goal by Janine Becky saw City take the lead 1-0 at half time. And two goals from Georgia Stanway from the bench, which saw City progress in the competition after a 3-0 win against Liverpool. City have now been drawn against Chelsea in the semi-final of the competition. The tie will be played on the 14th of April at the Academy Stadium. I spoke to some fans at the game to get their thoughts on the performance. Harry, what are your thoughts on the first half?
Should have been more than one up. And the Liverpool centre-forward was very dangerous. She could get... She could get one this half, so it's not over yet.
So what are you expecting from City in the second half?
I'm expecting City to come out, finish two or three, could be one against. But we've got to start taking our chances. We're very wasteful with chances at City. What they've also got to do is actually when we come out of defence, you've got to draw the defenders towards you and lose a man that way.
We've seen quite a bit slow in terms of pace, but we've also seen that quicker play pass, 1-2 touches as well, but neither seem to be working at the moment. Do you think it's down to sort of like the precision of the passes, or do you think it's down to the players?
We were sloppy early on with our passing, won't mention any names, but we've settled down now and I think we're beginning to improve. I think what will happen also is I think Liverpool will tire because we play a big game all over the pitch and they're having to change sides, swap from side to side. So hopefully they'll tire later on.
Some fans have mentioned about possibly the tiredness of the players from returning from international duty in the midweek game against Reading. Do you think that's having a bit of a factor?
It certainly happened last season. It could be going on this season as well. Last season we ran out of steam and that was why we didn't win anything.
We have got a stronger bench
actually, and that's why we've got to use them. He'll probably wait for about an hour gone and then he'll bring Claire Emsley on. I hope she's on the bench.
Yeah.
And possibly, is Georgia on the bench?
Georgia is on the bench.
Yeah, well, she's a very good player to bring on. There was a game earlier on where she came on and scored two goals straight away. Yeah, so hopefully she'll...
see more of her.
Yeah.
Definitely. All right, thanks, Harry.
Nice talking to you.
You too. I'm with Audrey and Robert. It's first half. It's 1-0 to City. What did you make of the first half?
I thought we had most of the possession. They only right at the end of the second half, they had the same team with the pressure. Obviously, we're 1-0 up. We should have really been 2 up at least, I think.
The opening opportunity for Janine Becky. How did she miss this?
Yeah, well, Rob said the goal that she actually scored was harder than the one that she missed.
That's very true, very true. So what are you expecting from City in the second half? What are you hoping from the team?
Hopefully they'll be able to get in behind Liverpool a lot more, open them up a bit more, create a few more chances and, you know, end up 3 or 4, yeah. Hopefully.
Yeah, the number 20 for Liverpool is looking a bit dangerous. Yeah. She's really fast and really strong.
Yeah, she's created a lot of problems really for us on the back, but thankfully Jen Beattie, she's having a really good game. She's been all over it.
Apart from that corner.
Oh yeah, apart from the corner. Forget about the corner.
Apart from when number 20 had a good run on her.
Well, she's got the legs.
Yeah, she's good.
And she's obviously for every step we take, she takes two. She's a very, very long legged player, and she's getting she's obviously got the pace on us a little bit. Hopefully, we'll identify that and hopefully sort of surround her a little bit more.
Yeah, hopefully Nick will rearrange him a bit in the second half, at half time, so that they've got her a bit more closed down. Because at the moment, I think she's the only one who's really any threat to us.
Yeah, I agree.
That's where any threat to us is coming from when she opens up.
So
I think it's important not to concede because at some point they're going to have to come out and give number 20 a bit more support and maybe leave a bit of space.
Yeah. Because obviously Liverpool now going into the dressing room will probably think, well, you know, we have had some good opportunities. If we can get, capitalise on that, maybe. I mean, it's a possibility. We have to think that it could happen. I mean, they are playing quite well.
They are playing well, and we're not playing perhaps quite as well as, you know, just passes not always quite connected and stuff like that.
Do you think
be a little bit sharper?
Do you think tiredness is playing a part?
Quite possibly. I mean, people have been on internationals and
that's a bit, maybe possibly a bit of a factor.
Yeah.
Do you think we'll make some changes in the second half?
I don't know. Nick always seemed to be reluctant to make changes until really late in the game. So I don't know. I can't read him.
Well, let's see what's happened.
Before 70 minutes.
Yeah, well, I think we've identified that there is a little bit of tiredness in the team. Hopefully he'll see that and maybe, you know, rest some players ahead of, obviously, you know, hopefully getting through and getting on the road to Wembley.
Yeah, I think if we get another one and then get two goal lead and then start thinking about resting people and think about the rest of the WSL. Yeah. And the rest of this competition.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, thanks, guys.
All right, thank you.
I'm with some Liverpool fans, and it's the half time. Wanted to get your thoughts on the first half performance.
Well, I think it's been closer than I thought. Liverpool have been quite disciplined, but the goal was a bad mistake defensively.
Probably should have cleared it.
Yeah, we should have cleared it. But it'll be interesting the second half because we got the wind behind us and. It's still only 1-0. Anything can happen, I suppose.
To be fair, Liverpool have played really well. You know, they've looked as though they've had some really good moments in the game, and particularly on number 20, who's...
Baba Gidi.
Yeah.
Baba Gidi. Baba Gidi.
She got a good shot away. She got a good shot away.
So, but she's got, certainly got legs on her, hasn't she? She's, you know...
She gets the ball right. Unfortunately, most of the balls that come to her in the air. And she can't handle the height of the centre back. She needs it through the channel to run onto.
I mean, she's particularly been a threat. Do you think we'll see more of her in the second half?
Possibly. It depends whether or not Vic wants to make some changes with some of the subs that we've got on, because some of the players that are coming back from injury still can't do a 90 minutes. So at a minute, we're doing a lot of changing around and whatnot. But whoever comes on the pitch, I think they're going to cause City problems because we do have that skill base in the team. They just need to believe in themselves. And
I think we've just got like players coming back from injuries that actually want to make a point. I think Ashley Hodgson will be desperate to do something today.
I mean, our top scorer is Courtney Sweetman-Kirk, and we really need to get her in the middle.
A little bit more there in central positions. Because
she hasn't got pace, but she's got a great shot if she gets the chance.
Okay. Well, good luck in the second half, and thanks for speaking to us today. Harry, second half. You thought Emsley, Georgia would come on in the second half. Have you been pleased with what they've contributed to the game?
Absolutely. When Georgia Stanway comes on in the second half, you can see the difference straight away. She's got that finishing power. She can shoot from distance. She's the only City player who can shoot from that sort of distance, apart from Steph, you know. So, as predicted, very, very convincing victory in the end, but... Should have been more, really.
Yeah. I mean, like you said there, Georgia Stanway is the type of player that can create those moments out of nothing, isn't she? She's very good at that.
Absolutely, she's still improving, you know. She's only a youngster. She's going to get better and better. It wouldn't surprise me in about 2 years' time if she's the best player in the country.
I mean, you compared her to me during the game there to Wayne Rooney, and she's certainly got... those kind of characteristics.
Yeah, she's the sort of player that you've got to give a free rein to. She can play all over the pitch, and she'll get stuck into tackles as well. Other players you can build up, you can have a pattern, they have to stick to a pattern, but she can play anywhere, and she'll produce more often than not. She's a great player.
So, one to watch for sure.
Absolutely, yeah.
All right, thanks, Harry.
Obviously, the FA Cup's a massive trophy for us. We've won it in the past, and the plan is to hopefully win it again. And we've done well so far this season. We're on the right track. But today just shows the quality that we've got. And we go 1-0 at half-time, and then obviously we finish at 3-0. So it just shows the depth that we've got in the squad as well. We've just got to come on and try and be the difference and try and... bring the team morale up, and obviously coming on you can almost be a catalyst and try and change the game in what you bring or your energy and things like that. But on the bench as well, you can almost suss out what the opposition are doing and where things can open up and potentially where you can get your opportunity. So I think the bench is just as important, and obviously it worked in our favour today. It gets more and more competitive the further you get in competitions, and that's always going to be the case. But we're in a good position at the minute. We're 31 games unbeaten. That's obviously a massive achievement for the club, the staff, both our staff and players. But I think we're in a good place. Whatever the draw holds tomorrow, we'll face whoever we're up against. And I guess you've got to be the best to beat the best, so bring on whoever comes near us. We've struggled in previous years. Going far in the Champions League, things can kind of get mashed up and really close together. But it's kind of, obviously we'd love to go far in the Champions League, but this gives us an opportunity to go far in other competitions, and that's what we'll focus on. We'll rest, we'll do what we can to put us in the best possible position to finish the season on a high. We're always prepared for, if you defeat someone, they're going to come back fighting and want to get that one back up on you, but we'll just stick to our game plan, and we'll do what we do best, and that's keep the ball, pass it around, and obviously that's where the goals come, and Keats has been unbelievable this season, as have the defence, so I think that just shows that we can go far, and obviously whatever happens, happens.
And you talk about the mindset coming off the bench in a game like today. Well, how was that for you? What did you want to do coming off the bench for into the game?
Well, no matter who you are, getting told that you're on the bench rather than starting is obviously a little bit disheartening, but I think you've just got to take it on the chin, because the only 11 players can start and we've got a squad of 20. Obviously people will miss out, but that's just part of the game. So I think for me it's important to come on and just try and make a difference, and today my task was to come on and just try and bring a bit more team morale and trying to get the energy levels up, and hopefully I did that.
Yeah, it's a pretty sensational goal. Do you want to talk us through it?
Thank you. Claire just played it on the edge of the box. I took it on my right foot and then put it in the bottom right corner.
So that bit of fancy footwork from Emsley though, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was nice. It was nice.
All right, thank you.
No worries.
Took place at the Academy Stadium for the WSL on the 31st of March. Claire Emsley made the starting 11 and converted a low shot across goal, which nestled into the bottom right hand corner of the goal. It was the first goal of the game, and once again we headed into the break with a 1-0 lead. However, it was a different story in the second half, as Liverpool were awarded a penalty for a handball in the area. It was Sweetman Kirk who converted from the spot. Despite Ellie Roebuck going the right way, it managed to find a way through and made the game level at 1-1. As the minutes wound down in the game, the sense of urgency certainly increased by the City players, who were looking to get that late winner in the game. It came close again on so many occasions, but just couldn't find the back of the net. Probably the best opportunity of the game was when Steph Horton hit the crossbar, smacked one from just outside the area, and it just rattled the woodwork. However, it was City's tenacity that was rewarded in the end, as Caroline Weir delivered a free kick which met the head of Jennifer Beattie, who managed to find the back of the net in a late winner for Manchester City.
I don't think we felt that we should have been in the position. At half time we were comfortable. We knew that all that Liverpool had was a set piece or a counter attack, and we gave them a counter attack which led to the set piece, and then we gave them a penalty from the set piece. So I knew the team would have it in them to create the moments to score, but we missed the chance with Nikita and we missed the chance with Caroline Weir, and it almost replicated Bristol and Reading here, where you get to the end and not only have you drawn, but you should have won. So I'm really pleased that they went on and won the game, and great set piece, great header, and you know, in the 94th minute all you want is it to go in the goal. I don't really care how it goes in there. Now, we looked at that this week on how we can control games when teams are almost controlling us, and you know, Liverpool put a lot of players behind the ball and they're basically trying to hang on, and what they hope for is that you don't have your day. And up until the 94th minute, I suppose they probably thought that they were in. You know, Nikita missed the chance that she would like to have scored. Caroline Weir missed the chance central of the goal, 10 yards out. But in the end, you know, good teams find a way to win, and that's what we did. We've said all along, from that moment that we dropped points against Chelsea here, that it was out of our control. Brighton and Everton are difficult games, but Arsenal are a very good team, so we'll just have to, you know, there's a lot to play for them. All we can do is beat Yeovil and then go to Arsenal on that last day of the season, irrelevant if there's anything to play for. For us, there will always be something to play for, and that's being undefeated. If the one positive we can take, it's a bit of a double-edged sword, really, because the positive of going undefeated is that you're a good team. Negative is, we look at it, we probably could have walked the league. We dropped points from 1-0 up against Reading, 2-0 down, two mistakes against Bristol, 1-0 up against Bristol, 2-0 up against Chelsea. That'll be the frustrating part. Emma's a winner, and the Chelsea players and the Chelsea team is a winning team. So knowing that they can't get in the Champions League, knowing that they play a difficult tie against Lyon, knowing that they didn't win the Continental Cup, that FA Cup for them is that last little bit to save their season. And we know that they'll be hugely motivated to go on and win that so that they see this season as a success. For us, though, we know that we lost against them last year and we played well against them at King's Meadow last year. We just didn't score. Frank Kirby on two counter-attacks. We want to win that game, and I can tell the players are up for that game. We just got to make sure that we get them through this international break, enjoy the England game here, get them through the international break, and then make sure that we're prepared for that game, because we know we've got the potential to get to the final. I think it's difficult because you've got such a competitive squad and such a plethora of talent that you know you have to find them games. So Claire Emsley, Lauren Hemp went in today, but they've not played a lot of football, so it's hard for them to get up to form. Whereas when we played Georgia Stanley, Nikita Paris up the front, Tess Woolert, Caroline Weir, we've had a lot of rhythm because they've played big games. So yeah, I think we've just got to try and find the balance between, I mean, what's not helped us for this game is having that big break, having 2 weeks. We moan when we have loads of games, but then when we have a big gap, it just kills rhythm. We want games. So I just think training, trying to get the Lauren Hemps and the Claire Emsley's up to rhythm so that they can just go on and play well, because they're fantastic players.
You said Claire Emsley did start the game today and contributed with the first goal. How have you thought about this in the game today?
Yeah, I thought she played well. I thought you could see that she hadn't played a lot of football in our first team, in the sense of over the last two or three weeks. I think Claire will probably need two or three games back-to-back to get to where she's content with her performance. But I thought she'd done well, scored a goal and was involved in the build-up quite a lot. But like I say, it's so competitive. You know, she's challenging for a place over Mel Lawley, you know, Claire Emsley, Caroline Weir, Tess Wooler. It's difficult. For us, it's about picking the team that we know is going to go on and win us the game.
And obviously, significance in the game, the fact that Chelsea have dropped points today, the Champions League is pretty much a cert for next season now for City. So how do you feel about that?
Yeah, I think we would have had to have lost. If they'd have won today, we would have had to have lost Yeovil and lost Arsenal, and there was a big goals deficit. So the fact they dropped points means that even if we lose both games, we'd still get there by 2 points. So yeah, really pleased. I love Champions League. It's such a challenge. We're so proud that we got to two semi-finals, but we want to show progress. We're also really disappointed with the way it went this season, and for our fans, and evolving this team into being a team that people love watching. Champions League is going to play a huge part in that. Gives us the opportunity now to get back in the Champions League and make sure that whoever we draw in the first round and the second round, the third round, we go on and get to that semi-final and try and push on, because the team and the players have a huge desire to do well in the Champions League.
Caroline Weir's deliveries are ridiculous, and you know, all the credit goes to that. Really, it landed straight in my head and then back of the net. So yeah, her quality was unbelievable. We didn't create loads of chances, but neither did they. It was kind of one of those, it wasn't the most exciting of games, and we'd all probably openly admit that we weren't happy with our performance. But that's something that we'll look to dissect, you know, after the international camp and look to put it right. Kind of one of those ones that I don't like to make too many emotional decisions. I'm a kind of player that will look to watch it back and look what went wrong technically or technically we weren't good enough. You know, we didn't look as sharp, but again, we'll look to put that right afterwards. We've won one trophy, we're still in the mix of a semi-final, and we're still trying to put pressure on Arsenal, so there's still a lot to play for, and you know, wins like that are massive. I've been in, you know, teams previously with City and where we might not have necessarily played the best football, but we've come out and find a win, and that's kind of what good teams do, I think. It doesn't get much bigger than Chelsea at home in the semi-final of an FA Cup, but you know, we were happy to get the home draw. We'd like to think we'd want to play anyone at home, so to get to finals you have to beat big teams, and Chelsea are a big team, so we'll go away, refresh and come back and hopefully be ready for that game. Regardless of performance, we can still dig deep, and I think that's the one thing we said after, that we were happy that okay, we conceded a sloppy penalty, but we kept putting pressure on them and eventually got it in the end.
You've obviously had some games this season where you've come from behind. What's the strength like within the squad at the moment, and the sense of urgency towards the end to get the win? It's obviously, comparing that to last season, it's quite different this season.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, it's been quite a relaxed atmosphere. I think, you know, okay, we were disappointed to be knocked out of the Champions League, but it means you've got more time to focus on the league, FA Cup and all those things. So I'd say the camp's pretty relaxed, and you know, looking forward to getting this game done and looking forward to the semi-final after the break.
Okay. And obviously, you spoke about international football and looking to the World Cup.
Yeah.
How are you feeling looking ahead to France?
Good, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It'll be good to see the girls again this week. We'll head out to Pinatar and play Brazil and Chile, which, you know, will be really, again, very good prep going into the World Cup, and it's something that I'm trying not to think too much about. I think we've got a lot of work to do here before that. There's still so many big games leading into that, but again, they're all really good prep going into June.
Has it started yet with the England players?
not yet. There's been a few comments here and there, but it's all, you know, in good taste, and yeah. Everyone will wish everyone well going to the World Cup.
All the best.
Thank you.
Janet, Man City Women fan, and we're just at the Liverpool game today. How are you enjoying the game so far?
It's really good. I made a typical Claire Emsley goal.
Yeah.
I think really good. That's put us. We need the 3 points, so yeah, it's been good so far.
Good to see a start today.
Yeah, brilliant. Yeah, it's nice to see her on the pitch getting some game time. I think that's the most important thing for her. But she always comes up with a goal when we need it.
Yeah, yeah. She's always the last one off the pitch as well, isn't she? You see her knocking her in on her own, and she's obviously put one in for us today. Great to see a score, like you said. It's been a pretty similar sort of game to when we played them last in the cup.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of teams now are coming and playing against us and just really putting 10 players behind the ball. You can see that in this game in the first half. It's just breaking the teams down, and I think into the second half now we'll do that a little bit more. But this is a sort of regular occurrence now with teams coming and just defending. But if we can get through, we can break them down a little bit in the second half, hopefully get a couple more goals, because I've said it's going to be 3-0, so I'm hoping so, still.
Yeah, solid prediction there. Right, so obviously we do this Meet the Fan segment, and Janet, you travel quite far, don't you, to come to the City Games?
I do, yeah. I live just north of Birmingham, sort of near Walsall, so hop on the motorway and come up. So every game I go to, it's about 75 miles here, so... If I go to away games as well, sometimes that's cut down a bit. If I'm going down south, I haven't got as far to travel as you guys.
So it kind of has its... Birmingham is an added bonus.
Oh, if it's Birmingham. I love it when we play Birmingham and Villa. Because I can walk to the Villa ground, basically. But Birmingham, yeah, that's good. But no, it's a good drive up. I mean, I just enjoy it here. So I just like to come up ever since I've started to come. Just love the stadium, the atmosphere, everything about it. It's worth the journey.
So how did you start following, obviously, Man City, being from Birmingham?
Well, I've been watching women's football for quite a number of years on and off, and I've been to watch West Brom ladies, West Brom women and Aston Villa. I wouldn't go to Birmingham because that's not my side of the city.
Yeah.
But I was actually working in Manchester in about 2015-16. And you were playing some friendly games, I remember, in 16, in about the February, because the Summer League was still on. And I came straight from work one day and watched an afternoon friendly game, a couple of games against European teams, and just got hooked. I just was amazed by the stadium, by the atmosphere, the style of football that's played, and just got hooked on it from there, and then started to come to quite a few home matches. Started to go to some away matches the following year as well. In the Summer League, and it just really gambled from there, and I go to every game now.
Yeah.
And I have a season ticket here, and I go to as many away games as I can.
So you're certainly dedicated in the fact that you obviously do travel about, and obviously especially making the trips here to Manchester to come and watch the team. So is it difficult for you sometimes to obviously make that commitment, or do you just want to do it and as though?
I just do it. It's like a hobby. It's like any hobby. You make the time. I'm lucky I work shifts. So I can change shifts, swap shifts as I need to for games. Can't always get to every game for whatever reason, but the majority of, I must come to 90-95% of the games that are on. But yeah, I am committed. I just love, as I say, I love the style of football that City play. And I noticed that from day one. I've always been a football fan from when I was very young. Watched lots of non-league football and championship football and premiership football, live games. And I just, there's something quite special about this team. Always has been, even since the very beginning. Now, obviously, we had a great year, 16-17. But even now, there's something quite special about the way the team plays, I find.
Yeah. So in a few years, obviously, you've been following the team. What's been your standout favourite memory that you've had?
Well, I think everybody would say Wembley. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. The cup final at Wembley, that was... the best day ever.
Hopefully we can replicate that again.
Absolutely.
This year.
Absolutely, I'm looking forward to that.
It's going to be hard though.
Yeah, I enjoyed the Continental Cup final just.
Yeah.
That was up there for lots of different other reasons. I mean, obviously we played out the game really well at Wembley. You know, we won 4-1. Where the Continental Cup final was just a roller coaster of emotions through the whole 120 minutes it was being played. and then obviously a penalty shootout at the end for some very different reasons. That kind of, it's got etched in my memory now.
So have you got a favourite player and why?
I don't really have a favourite player as much. I mean, I've got a lot of respect for Kira Walsh this season. She's just very steady, very solid at the moment, and I think she's probably, if I'm going to say I've got a favourite player, it's probably Kira Walsh at the moment, just because of her stability and her consistency and the way she plays the game.
And you obviously say there as well that you travel to a lot of the away games as well. Have you got a favourite away day?
I think a favourite away day, apart from Wembley and the Continental Cup final. I like going to Birmingham, and I like it when we beat them.
Birmingham always give us a good match.
Absolutely, but I do enjoy it when we beat them, I must admit, out of everybody. I like going down to Chelsea. I think, was it the semi-final, where we won the semi-final of the Continental Cup? That was a great night. And there wasn't too many there, but that was a good night. But I think I enjoy all the away games. I love going to Reading. I like going to Yeovil. Reading's probably my favourite ground going down to. I think the fans are really friendly and good, but I wouldn't say there's one particular away game. Just enjoy them all, yeah.
So obviously the season's going to coming out shortly. Let's just wrap this up. What are your hopes now for the rest of the season for Man City?
I mean, my heart tells me we can still go for to win the league, but my head's telling me we can't. I think we're playing for second place now. As long as we can get into Europe, get to the FA Cup final, I think those are the two main things now for me. We need to get that second place at least.
I mean, Arsenal now obviously have won their match today. They're guaranteed Champions League football, so there is only one spot remaining, and obviously it's us and Chelsea now. It is all about maintaining that form now, isn't it, for City, hopefully maintaining our unbeaten form for the rest of the league.
Absolutely, and I think we need that second place now. We've got to go all out for that. We need to get into the Champions League next year, and I'd love us to get another cup final.
All right, well, thanks, Janet. All right, it's lovely speaking to you.
It was announced last week that Georgia Stanway has signed a new deal with the club until the end of the 2022 season, and the team will be returning to America in the summer for the Women's International Champions Cup for the second year running. This year, featuring hosts North Carolina, Leon and Atletico Madrid, all matches will be broadcast on SPN and the tournament will be held in August. And finally, we've got some news. MCW Fancast has been shortlisted for an award at the Football Blogging Awards, which takes place next month at the Etihad Stadium. There's a shortlist of women's content creators, and to be honest, we're amongst good company and well-established names at that. So we're going to need all the help we can get, to be fair, but really, really chuffed to be shortlisted. And thank you to everyone who's voted so far. If you haven't voted yet and you'd like to, information of how to vote is available through our Twitter page, which is at MCW Fancast. Or you can just go to the Football Blogging Awards website and click on the link of how to vote. And if you scroll down to Best Women's Content Creator, there's a drop-down list and you can vote for MCW Fancast there. And that's it for this week's podcast. Hope you've enjoyed it. If you're going to the England-Canada game on Friday, hopefully we'll see you there. If not, we'll see you next week and we'll be back on Friday.